Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
Beautiful sounds there coming here from your favorite Christian radio station. Well, we're going to be leaving it there because Elder Dennis Chisenga is already on the line. Good afternoon to you, my elder.
Good afternoon to you, Zama, and hoping you're okay.
We're okay. Thank you so much. I hope that you're fine.
I am all right.
Thank you so much. Now, we're continuing with our, subject, the Great Controversy. It is one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventists. Now, yesterday we looked at how the Great Controversy originated in heaven. Today, we're bringing the battleground down to Earth. Now, Adventists believe that Earth is not just a planet. It is an arena of this universal conflict. It is here that the devil charges against God's laws that are put on display for the entire universe to witness. Now, from the Garden of Eden to the fall of Jerusalem and through the centuries of the Christian movement, this conflict has shaped human history. And so today, we are going to be discussing how this battle influences daily moral choices, the rise and fall of spiritualism, or rather of false spiritualism, and how the cross of Christ fits into this cosmic war. Now, my elder, what does it mean that the earth is the arena of universal conflict?
Before answering, I would love to define the word arena.
Right.
An arena is a place where a conflict or a competition or a dispute is publicly demonstrated before witnesses. And if we go to our Seventh-day Adventist fundamental belief, it actually states that observed by the whole creation, this world became the arena of the universal conflict. So this means that earth became the visible stage upon which the claims of God and Satan are being tested before the entire universe. And if we read in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "For I think that God has displayed us, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." And this is what Paul hints to, the reality that actually the earth has become a visible stage upon which the claims of Satan and God are being demonstrated or tested. So the word spectacle in that verse refers to a public theater. In other words, humanity is not living in isolation. Mm-hmm. The universe is watching, angels are watching, and fallen worlds are watching. And the controversy is not simply about whether human beings will be saved. It's about demonstrating once and for all whether God's government truly operates on love, justice, and freedom. And that's what we see. So from there, we can simply see that earth is the arena of the great controversy, because it is here that the consequences of sin and the truthfulness of God's government are being demonstrated before the entire universe.
And how does the Bible's account of Adam and Eve in Eden serve as the turning point of this conflict?
Yes. So Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most significant chapters in the Bible, because it marks humanity's entrance into the controversy. You can notice Satan's strategy in Genesis 3 verse 1, as God indeed said, and we quoted this verse yesterday. He did not just begin by attacking God's power, the devil. He attacked God's credibility. Then he said, you will not surely die. That is on chapter 3, verse 4. And you'll be like gods. You'll be like God, chapter 3, verse 5. So these are the same ideas that fueled Lucifer's rebellion in heaven. And the issue was never the fruit, like we mentioned. It was about trust. If we read in Romans 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death to sin," we find that there are these consequences which come as a result of man obeying. So Eden became the turning point because humanity joined the rebellion of the devil. But it also became the place where God first promised redemption through Christ. That's the good news, which we find that Eden is bringing two aspects: the turning point of humanity away from God, again the restoration of God of humanity to Himself.
Why does this fundamental belief emphasize the law of God as a core part of the controversy?
When we look at God's law is the expression of His character and the principles upon which His government operates.
Yeah.
And many people tend to misunderstand the controversy as a struggle over power. It is actually a controversy over government. And every government operates according to laws. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, "The law of God is perfect, converting the soul." If we read the Psalms chapter 111 verse 7 to 8, says, "All His precepts are sure, they stand fast forever and ever." Well, Satan's accusations was essentially that God's law limits freedom, and God's response is, "My law protects freedom." I would love us to consider a train. It is a freest when it stays on its tracks. If it leaves the tracks or the rails, it does not become freer. It becomes destroyed. And similarly, God's law is not a restriction upon life. It is the design which with specifications of how we should run life. Take, for instance, the Ten Commandments. They protect worship, relationships, marriage, truth, property, human dignity. So when societies reject these principles, what follows is chaos. And this is precisely what the Great Controversy demonstrates. So the Great Controversy is ultimately asking, is God's law an arbitrary set of rules, or it is the foundation of life itself? And the Bible consistently answers the question that God's law reflects God's character of love. So the takeaway from that question is that the law of God is central to the controversy, because Satan challenged both God's authority and His principles. So the history of sin demonstrates that God's law protects life rather than restricting it.
Rather than restricting it. Now, how does the story of the cross act as the turning point of the conflict, if at all?
The cross actually is a turning point in that we should look at what Jesus said. John chapter 12 verse 31 says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Notice, He said this while He was approaching the cross. And why? Because Calvary would expose Satan forever. So at the cross, two characters stood revealed: Satan's character, or Satan-inspired betrayal, hatred, violence, and murder. And we see the innocent Son of God was crucified. But God's character was what was being revealed in this way. And we find Jesus responding on the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So instead of revenge, Christ offered mercy. Instead of condemnation, He offered grace. And instead of destruction, He offered salvation. And Romans 5, verse 8 adds on, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So the cross permanently answered Satan's accusation. A selfish ruler does not die for his rebels. And this is what we emphasized yesterday. So the cross is the decisive turning point, because it fully revealed God's love and Satan's hatred. It exposed the truth about both kingdoms before the entire universe. For us to save ourselves and judge where are we going to be when we are making these decisions about our eternal life.
Now, does this battle take place in the physical world, or is it more of a spiritual battle in the mind?
Well, when we talk about the spiritual battle, because sometimes there are people who have this misconception of what the spiritual battle is. Some they think it's powers and things like that. But it has a broader definition, because spiritual battle is a conflict which involves not only not only powers as in demons and all that. It also involves beliefs, values, loyalties, and decisions rather than physical weapons. So the answer to does this battle take place in the physical world or it is more in the spiritual battle? The answer is both. The effects appear physically, but the primarily battlefield is the mind. And Paul, inspired by God, wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And he continues on verse 5, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, that casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So notice where the battle occurs. He mentions about thoughts, about beliefs, argument, and the perceptions. So Satan's greatest weapon is actually deception. And God's greatest weapon is truth. That is why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So every behavior begins as a belief. People do not merely act according to circumstances. They act according to what they believe is true. So this is why the controversy centers on truth and deception. So the takeaway is that while the effect of the controversy are visible in society, the primarily battlefield is the human mind, where truth and deception compete for our loyalty.
Yeah, now we're going to be leaving you, my elder. Now, how can individuals discern the wiles of the devil in our modern secular world?
Yes, wiles, if we may define them, they are deceptive strategies or schemes or carefully crafted methods which are designed to mislead. Now, Paul, God through the writings of Paul, warns us in Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, Satan rarely succeeds through obvious evil because he knows he'll be able to retaliate. So his greatest successes come through subtle distortions. And in Eden, he simply changed the one sentence. Today, he uses similar tactics. Truth, he does not say it's absolute. He says it's relative. It's according to how you feel, according to what you think. And there's this notion of follow what your heart tells you. Follow what your heart tells you. And morality in this world is no longer about God's law, but it's something personal. If I deem something right, it's right to me. I don't care what someone else thinks about. And there's an agenda which the devil is pushing, that you do not need God. Just work hard, push, things will happen. The concept is that you don't need God. And the pleasure is the highest purpose which we find in this world. Now, the best protection against deception is not intelligence alone. It is familiarity with the truth. When Jesus was tempted, he repeatedly answered, "It is written," when we check Matthew 4 and in Luke as well. Now, Christ defeated deception through scripture, and that was a practical safeguard. And this is what we must also do. We must study the Bible daily. We must pray consistently. We must depend on the Holy Spirit totally. And we must fellowship with Christians. And most of all, let's test every teaching against the scripture. 1 John chapter 4 verse 11 advises us that, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." So the takeaway from the question is that the best defense against Satan's deception is having a strong, living, and saving relationship with Christ, and a mind which is grounded in the truth of Scripture. Sure.
Man, my elder, I must thank you so much for coming through. It's been a wonderful time having you here on board. We will talk to you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.